This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Near the end of another dismal loss at home this past Saturday night, the New York Knicks triggered an ugly brawl on the floor at Madison Square Garden. Rookie Marty Collins threw his arms around J.R. Smith of the Denver Nuggets as Smith headed toward the basket. Angry words followed, then pushes, then punches. Before it was over, 10 players were ejected for fighting, among them Carmelo Anthony of the Nuggets, who currently leads the league in scoring. This afternoon, league officials handed out fines and suspensions. We'll have the details for you in a moment. But more intriguing is why this fight erupted, whether the coach of the Knicks ordered the foul that started it, and what this incident tells us about professional sports in general and professional basketball in particular. Later in the program, this week's opinion page features a woman's search for her sperm donor dad. But first, basketball. Reportedly, members of the Knicks were frustrated by another terrible loss at home and angry that the visiting Nuggets kept their starters in the game all the way to the end. Marty Collins' flagrant foul prevented another celebratory dunk. What's the appropriate response to humiliation? Are the penalties issued today appropriate? Does this affect any plans you might have to attend an NBA game? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we begin with Tom Goldman, who's NPR sports correspondent. Tom, nice to talk to you again.
Hi, Neil.
And remind us, that the way I described that incident on Saturday night, that seemed to be about it, except that once the fight had seemingly ended, there was another round.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that is the point that NBA Commissioner David Stern was making in a conference call that you briefly mentioned in your introduction there. You know, he mentioned that, look, this is a high-intensity game, very fast-paced. Emotions will happen and things will happen. There will be hard fouls. But normally what happens is players will be, you know, security people come on, coaches rush out, people rush out and stop the, you know, they stop the fight. What happened in this one was that in a couple of occasions, the players broke free and went after another player. This escalation is what David Stern, you know, really wanted to target with the penalties that he exacted today. He wants the thing to stop and not to, you know, to stop a little bit and then to keep going.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the headline from the penalties issued today, 15 games and not insubstantial penalty for Carmelo Anthony.
No, it's not. Certainly the Denver Nuggets are going to be missing their league-leading scorer, as you said. The other penalties I'll just roll through here. Nate Robinson and J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, the person who was taken down on the initial foul, 10 games for him, 10 games for the Knicks. Nate Robinson, who rushed in and got tangled up with J.R. Smith. They actually tumbled into the first row of seats. Marty Collins, the player you mentioned who horse-collared J.R. Smith, he got 6 games. Jared Jeffries, who I guess we could call him in this little drama the pursuer. He was the one of the people who broke free and went after Carmelo Anthony. People can see the video of him being pulled down onto the court, his jersey being stretched. He was incensed. He got 4 games. And then in cameo bench-leaving roles, we have Jerome James of the Knicks and Nene of the Nuggets, each getting a game suspension.
And it should be said that Jared Jeffries' reasons he was pursuing Carmelo Anthony down the court was Carmelo Anthony sucker punched him.
Yes, well, actually, I believe Carmelo Anthony sucker punched Marty Collins, who was the fouler immediately, and Jared Jeffries. You know, this is the code that these guys play by. You mess with my teammate, I go after you.
And interestingly, no penalty, at least not specifically, for Isaiah Thomas, who 20 seconds before this fight erupted was overheard talking to Carmelo Anthony and said, "Son, don't go into the paint. Don't go near the basket."
Yeah, and that's one of the videos that's also been rolling on TV, not just of the brawl, but the video of Isaiah very clearly, and you can read his lips saying, "Don't go near the basket," and then he gives that little sweet Isaiah Thomas smile, but everyone kind of figures, well, that's the message being sent. David Stern was asked about that. He said that there was no adequate evidence upon which to make a determination. He said you have to find something in order to suspend someone. Even in the NBA, there's a presumption of innocence. I will add that a reporter on this conference call from the Rocky Mountain News joined the conference call late because he had been at a Nuggets press conference with head coach George Karl, who, according to this reporter, called Isaiah a jackass and an even stronger word, keeping alive what appears to be this sudden or maybe not so sudden rivalry between not just the Knicks and the Nuggets, but George Karl and Isaiah Thomas.
And when we talk about Isaiah's warning, don't go into the paint, this all has to do with what the Knicks described as what they perceived as an effort by the Nuggets to show them up, to embarrass them on their own home floor.
Yeah, and everyone talked about that. They talked about being dissed, you know, in the lexicon. The Nuggets were way up. They had, I believe it was four starters on the floor with about a little over a minute left, although accounts of the game said that Karl had sent three subs up to the scorer's table to check into the game, but they were delayed because the play happened and J.R. Smith got the ball, and he stole the ball and ran down to the end of the court, and that's when everything happened. So, but yes, the Knicks felt that they were being dissed. There were even reports, if you want to back up a step farther and say that George Karl was angry with the Knicks for firing his buddy Larry Brown during the offseason. So this was, you know, a bit of a vendetta or a way to rub the Knicks' nose in an ugly loss. So, you know, very twisted, the twisted plot here.
Let me ask you also about this doesn't happen often in the NBA. There was an even uglier brawl 2 years ago in Detroit that involved members of the Pistons and members of the Indianapolis Pacers, which spilled into the stands, and fans got involved in it.
Right.
This spilled into the stands a bit, but no fans got involved in it. So, you know, on the scale of horribleness of NBA fights, this is no worse than a 9.
Right, exactly. I would say the brawl at the Palace in Auburn Hills 2 years ago was off the charts, considered a watershed, just for the reasons you give, that it involved fans. It spilled into the stands, and huge suspensions. Of course, Ron Artest of the Indiana Pacers got a 73-game suspension for that, basically the entire season. But, you know, this one was, you know, it didn't involve fans. There weren't fans squaring off against players, but it did spill into that front row of seats. You know, I guess that's what you pay for, what you risk when you pay thousands of dollars to sit courtside. But David Stern said, you know, his major goal, what he has to do is prevent, injuries, and he has to protect the safety of players and the fans. The fans are, you know, that's one thing that makes the NBA so unique. The fans are that close to the players. Mm-hmm. And in this case, a couple of big guys fell on some fans.
Okay. Let's turn now to Mike Wise, who's a sports columnist for the Washington Post, and I'm certainly familiar with the National Basketball Association. He's been kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Neil.
Why is this important?
I think it also speaks to a larger point, which is this decorum and etiquette in sports in general is just dissolving. And it's not only in the NBA. You saw one of the ugliest incidents I've ever seen in sports this year between the University of Miami and Florida International, where players during their football game were coming off and swinging helmets at one another. And that was a mass suspensions. And this was college football, and the coaches involved were supposed to be leaders of men. Well, clearly there's a decorum, there's a standard here that doesn't have anything to do with what the NBA wants. This is essentially what Isaiah Thomas wanted or may have wanted, and this is also a code that goes way beyond what the NBA says you're supposed to do in those situations.
Mm-hmm. In his statement, Commissioner Cern said NBA players are noted for their grace, their athleticism, and like it or not, they're role models for the world of basketball.
Well, they are. And while everybody can castigate this incident and put some of these players down and run amok and say, well, look at the NBA, it's a league of thugs, I think that's a little strong. Mm-hmm. I was at a Penguins-Capitals game last week.
Ice hockey, for those unfamiliar.
Ice hockey. They were two players who usually don't fight were going at it. Blood was flying all around the ice. And this was a part of the normal night of a hockey game. And so So the standards are different in basketball. Obviously, you don't have the equipment that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in hindsight, if you look at the brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills, where players did go into the stands, Ron Artest, other players were throwing haymakers at fans, way down the ladder. This was strictly between players. It was wrong. It was ugly. But it didn't escalate to that level.
Yet, Tom Goldman, this also comes after strenuous effort on the league's part, in particular Commissioner Stearns, to address the issues of behavior in the league.
Well, absolutely.
Right, let
go ahead,
Tom.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
that's absolutely true. And this what's called a no tolerance policy, where David Stern wants the players to stop complaining so vociferously to referees, that's resulted in increased technical fouls this season. So yeah, it's a constant kind of tinkering, it seems, with trying to make sure that that behavior is appropriate, and so yes, this does come on the heels of that. Interestingly, this also comes on the heels of David Stern and the whole basketball situation, where he went back on putting that new basketball into play. And
briefly,
the
league introduced a new composite basketball this year that, and without consulting the players, many players complained that it hurt their fingers. In fact, their fingers were bleeding, and the commissioner backed down.
Yeah, and I wonder if Tom agrees with this. There's so many rules that are being legislated into the players. Dress code last year, the ball this year, not complaining to the officials. There's no dogs to kick anymore. You have to actually argue more with the players on the floor. The officials, there used to be a common bond between the players that was the enemy. Mm-hmm. Now it's player on player.
That's true. And he is legislating all this stuff. And as we were saying earlier, the NBA is such a high-paced, intense game where emotions are going to bubble over constantly.
Mm-hmm. And just before we let you go, Tom, there is no more than speculation, but there is considerable speculation that Isaiah Thomas, a graduate of the Bad Boy Pistons, an all-star, Hall of Fame player in his own right, a tough guy in his own, basically issued orders. Don't let him dunk on our team at the end of this game.
Yeah, well, and Isaiah, I mean... Yes, there is that, and at every level of basketball, you will hear coaches saying to players, don't let a guy get to the hoop easily. But David Stern even acknowledged that. But he also said, any orders being given to injure anyone, to hurt someone, that will not be tolerated.
Tom Goldman, we're going to let you get back to your regular job. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Neil.
Tom Goldman is NPR sports correspondent, and he joined us. We'll be back more from Mike Wise and your calls when we return from a break. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the brawl that erupted on Saturday night between the New York Knicks and Denver Nuggets, and what incidents like this tell us about professional basketball and pro sports in general. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a championship-winning high school coach about what he teaches his young athletes about these sorts of situations. Right now, our guest is Mike Wise, a sports columnist with the Washington Post, and of course, you're welcome to join us. 800-989-8255 is our number. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And why don't we get Corey on the line. Corey's calling us from Hampton, Virginia. Corey, you there? 3, 2, 1. All right, Corey, thanks for the call. Let's go now. Bob. Bob's with us from Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking a call, Neil.
Sure.
I agree with Mike's observation. I think it's an issue of decorum, and I think it's not only in basketball, but in sports across the board, hockey, football, and it's now even creeping into baseball. And at the college level, too. And we have a lot of problems here in Boulder with CU fans throwing things onto the field and in general just disrespecting the other fans from other states and teams. And I don't know what the causes of it are, but I can tell you the effect. I have two children, two boys, 5 and 14, and I don't watch professional sports with them any longer. It's too violent. And I think what you end up seeing is the it's almost like it's an expectation to perform that way. It's a lot of in your face. If somebody makes a tackle, they hover over the person they've tackled and growl at them or spit on them or whatever. It's blatant. Fans at hockey games are going there for the blood sport as well as for the performance. And And in general, we simply, I used to go to maybe 10 Nuggets games a year. I used to go to 3 or 4 football games a year, NFL, you know, several CU games. And we just, I stopped going to games about 5 years ago. And now we've cut out watching, we don't watch sports on television any longer.
Mike Wise, that is David Stern's worst nightmare, who just called up.
You're right. That's called disenchanting the average fan, someone who actually would go to the game. And I think it's too bad in a lot of ways. I saw this in New York.
I'm not alone either. I used to go with friends, and we take our sons, and we've all stopped going.
Yeah, and it's too bad because I've been in New York. I worked up there for 10 years before I came to Washington, and the culture of sports changed a lot. Just at games, people used to come to the games to celebrate the experience and the hometown team. Now it's denigrate the enemy. You go and it's a hate culture that comes into that through those turnstiles a lot, and you see it every day by some of the comments that come down from the stands. And the players, you know, they internalize that stuff too. They play more angrier on the floor. And one of the things, back to this Knicks thing, Neil, is that When you're playing on the playground, any tough playground in America, there's a rule. You don't back down once you're hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. You take these kids and you put them back into the NBA, which is a professional organization. It still doesn't take the playground out of a lot of those young kids.
Bob, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
you're welcome.
It. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Let's see if we can go to Jerry. Jerry's with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, thank you. My question is concerning the difference between hockey and other professional sports like basketball here and football.
Mm-hmm.
In the latter two sports and others, fighting is not tolerated, you know, as we've seen. However, it's an expected part of the game in hockey. And I'm, as a longtime sports fan, I find myself wondering, you know, why the double standard? Is it simply because concern out of safety for, you know, concern for safety of the crowds, or was it the fact that it was a bench-clearing brawl, or is there a double standard here? I'm bothered by the fact that in one, it's an expected part of the game, and in the other two, and other ones, it's not tolerated.
Mm-hmm. You're right. If you throw a punch in any other sport, you're out of the game and facing a likely suspension. In hockey, you sit down for 5 minutes.
Yeah, a mid-major penalty or something or another. You know, Gary Bettman, the National Hockey League commissioner, has legislated out a lot of the fighting, and the penalties have become stiffer. But, I mean, just this week in my paper, we wrote a story about how tough the Capitals have become. And that's not checking guys into boards. That's throwing your fists at a guy who wants to fight you. And so, yeah, there is a double standard there. Fighting has been part of the hockey landscape and culture for a long time. It hasn't been as big a part of basketball's, but there's clearly a double standard. I think people should remember that when they go around saying, oh, the NBA is just a bunch of thugs.
Mm-hmm. It should be said that, and this may not be unrelated, hockey is not a major sport in most American cities.
It's been overtaken in ratings now by, NASCAR and poker on television, if you can believe that.
Yeah. Jerry, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's get another voice into the conversation now. Joining us is Phil McCrary. He's the head coach of the Columbia High School Eagles team in Decatur, Georgia, and they won the state championship last year. And Coach McCrary, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time today. I don't know if you've had a chance to see a tape of what happened in New York the other night, but have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
And what's your reaction to it?
My reaction is that in today's society now, especially in pro basketball, you're getting a lot of immature guys going into the league, guys that that haven't actually reached their maturity level yet, and they bring in child for play into a man's world, and they not you got to hold those guys accountable for their action. I think David Stern did a good job when he recommended that they must be you spend a year in college before they actually can come out.
Right.
But still, again, if you ever look at pro football, it's rare that you're going to get a professional football player coming out of high school into the pro ring. And what we try to do on our high school level here at Columbia, we try to tell the kids to do the right thing, and doing the right thing is doing the right thing when no one is actually looking at you.
You're lucky enough to have players immature enough still to look up to their coach as a figure of some authority.
Well, you know, I always try to tell the kids, what I'm asking of them is something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm asking them to go into the classroom, you attack your classroom subject the same way you come out to the basketball court. Basketball court is an extension of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was one reason why I went on ahead and pursued my doctorate degree, to let them know that it is possible that you can proceed to go into an educational world and do what is expected of you in the classroom and come out and still mm-hmm. maintain some kind of sense.
You know that most of the kids on your team, if not all of them, are not going to play professional sports. They all think they're going to be stars.
Well, you know, like I try to tell them, while they're in high school, do the very best you can with what you have to work with. If that opportunity gives you a chance to go to school, be the best at what you can do in getting that education. Use that athletic skill that you have to get the education that you so desire need in today's world. And then if that professional league come along and say, okay, I think you're good enough to play for us, then that's icing on your cake.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's world, it's rare that a high school kid, one out of 500, will ever get an opportunity to do that.
I'd be interested in Coach McCreary's opinion on just Carmelo Anthony. He's one of these players who, along with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, have become the new torch carriers of the NBA in the absence of Michael Jordan's retirement several years ago. And so now you have this player who came out of a tough area of Baltimore, was basically took a real huge image hit a couple summers ago when he made a video in which basically with a couple of friends saying don't snitch on drug dealers, and he was reprimanded, and he sort of rehabbed his image, and he became very popular, and he's got this baby face, and he's got commercials, and now all of a sudden he's sucker punching a guy on national TV. What? How do your kids internalize that? Do they think Carmelo's a bad guy again, or do they say, well, he had a lapse in judgment one night?
Well, you know, I have pretty good intelligent kids, and they know that at times in the heat of the battle, you're not going to think, you're just going to react, and they understand that the judgment that he made was a bad judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if Carmelo was a little bit further away and could have sat down and thought about what his actions were, I don't think that ever would have happened.
Mm-hmm. Your kids, I assume, like other kids around the country, dress like NBA players and speak to some degree like NBA players. Are you worried sometimes they're going to act like NBA players?
Well, you know, we have a policy here at Columbia High School, what we call tuck and pull. Tuck and pull to us means your pants pulled up on your tail, shirt tail tucked in, and look professional. And we always said, you know, early is on time and on time is early. And so we just try to make sure that we make sure that they live in a good, positive life so they can come out and be productive citizens.
Coach McCreary, thanks very much for your time, and good luck with your team.
And thank you very much.
See you, Coach.
Phil McCreary is coach of the Columbia Eagles at Columbia High School in Decatur, Georgia, and he was kind enough to join us today by phone from there. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And this is, excuse me, that was the old person we had on the line. Let's go now to Lisa. Lisa calling us from Oakland Township in Michigan.
Hello, Mr. Conan. I enjoy your show very much.
Thanks very much.
I just wanted to share a comment. I actually was courtside at Malice of the Palace at Auburn Hills a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. That was 2 years ago, the fight between the Indiana Pacers,
the Pistons,
right. And assorted fans.
Did you get any beer dumped on you by chance?
No, luckily I was far enough away that really didn't happen. But up until that point in the game, I mean, I was there with my husband and my two kids, and we had a great time. I mean, I was thinking family entertainment, this is wonderful, we should come out here more often, this is just so close, and it was just really a good, entertaining game. And then, you know, I honestly don't know what triggered this whole thing, but at the end of the game, I was just sitting there thinking, you know, if these players and fans' parents were there, they would have been grounded for life. And you know, how can we support people behaving essentially like schoolyard bullies and just getting so out of control? I was just really disgusted and very disappointed, you know, in the players and in the fans, and, you know, didn't think it did, you know, my city any great favors by reputation.
I wonder, Lisa, if you've been back to a game since.
Not a Pistons game, no. I haven't been back since. I wouldn't say that I would never go, but I did feel like I was just really disappointed, really, at the behavior of the fans, too, because there was a lot of heckling of the players during the game. And I just thought, why is this even tolerated? I mean, this is supposed to be wholesome family entertainment, and what gives somebody the right to just, heckle Ron Artest and chide him about, his CD or, whatever else he has going on in his life? I mean, they're here to say to watch a basketball game. I mean, we wouldn't tolerate this, in our little league. Why do we tolerate it from professional athletes and from the fans that supposedly enjoy professional athletic contests?
And as we go back to that 2 years ago, Neil, that was the perfect storm. You had this, beer-swilling fans, both physical teams, and an altercation at the end that just escalated into something. And 2 years later, here we are talking about it again. Frankly, I think David Stern has got to feel very depressed about the state of his league today.
Hmm. Lisa, thanks very much for the call.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
We're talking about the brawl between the New York Knicks and the Denver Nuggets that erupted in Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. Yes, the world's most famous arena. Yeah. Famous again for another reason. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And our guest is Mike Wise, a Washington Post columnist. I did want to ask you, these are some remarks attributed to Isaiah Thomas. Quotes, it wasn't necessarily not to go to the basket. He's talking about his conversation with Carmelo Anthony. But basically, don't rub it in, Thomas said Monday. It wouldn't be a good idea for you to rub it in and go down to the basket and dunk it on our guys. We're down 18, we're down 19. You don't need to act like that. Basically, show some class. Now, that's something I guess he's allowed to believe, but he didn't have trouble coaching his own team. He's not supposed to be coaching the other team, too.
Isaiah Thomas has charmed his way into more jobs and not out of them for some reason than anybody in the history of the NBA. It's amazing. We should also forget that George Karl's not the biggest choir boy. This is a guy who's got a temper. He's had players gotten physical altercations with a former player, Gary Payton, before.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tom brought up earlier, that whole bond between Larry Brown and George Karl, two former North Carolina players who know each other and respect each other, Isaiah Thomas, as the Knicks general manager, fires Larry Brown, and all of a sudden George Karl just happens to leave his players in at the end of a game, kind of breaking a little bit of decorum himself. You don't rub it in the NBA or Little League or any other way. Carmelo Anthony probably shouldn't have been in the game that late. That doesn't excuse what happened in the hard foul, but there is some kind of loss of etiquette on George Karl's part there too.
This is a quote from the man who committed the hard foul, Marty Collins, the rookie for the New York Knicks. I don't regret fouling him as hard as I did. I just regret the whole thing escalated. I was out there competing. I didn't want the guy to get a layup, and I was basically trying to stop him from going in the air. That's why I fouled him that hard, so he wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, if you look at the tape, and a lot of people would argue differing viewpoints on this, he clearly fouls him hard, but at no point does he take his forearm and goes across his face.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not saying I excuse the foul, but I don't think it was as malicious as people are making it.
Let's get Corey back on the line. Corey, I apologize. I hung up on you by mistake.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to make a comment about the NBA comments. I think that it's very unfair because, number one, when you look at the NBA, I mean, it's basketball itself is a very competitive sport. It's not your typical sport, and these guys are playing 50, 60-some games a year, providing that they make it to the postseason. But I think it's very unfair because, I mean, in this country we have a professional sport that's built on people fighting and destroying one another, and it's called the National Hockey League. I mean, I've been to NHL games, and I've sat by fans who wanted to protest to get their money back just because there wasn't a fight that happened at the actual event. And I think that people, it's unfair, and sometimes it gets a little racy on my end, and I think that sports is a reflection of society. Mm-hmm. Where these young men are born and raised and the environments they grew up in have nothing to do with what happens in your ability to compete as a sport. I mean, these guys are high ego players. They're being paid big money because they can do things that the average person.
Corey, I don't mean to cut you off again, but we're running out of time. I wanted to give Mike a chance to respond. In a way, one of the things, Corey, I think we've addressed the differences between basketball and hockey. But in a way, this is a young black man's game that's paid for and owned by rich white people.
Yeah, exactly. And people will bring the race issue in there all the time. I think it's a fair point that he makes. We look at these hockey teams, 90% Caucasian, and we say, oh, the Canadian kids are getting a little chippy. That's part of the game. We look, all of a sudden, players on the court who happen to be of African-American ancestry get into it, and it's all of a sudden, look at the kids from the hood. They're fighting again. And I think we really do have to be careful of those double standards because it happens in all sports.
Mike Wise, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Deal.
Mike Wise writes a column for the Washington Post, and he joined us here in Studio 3A. When we come back from a break, it's the Opinion Page. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.